Good morning and welcome back to Trending. We missed you last week as we had a break for the Thanksgiving holiday. I hope everyone enjoyed their time with their families and loved ones. I could not think of a better way to get back to discussing what's going on in the region and in the city of Coolville than to have City of Coolville Vice Mayor Lauren Wheaton as my guest today. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. That was a pretty nice introduction. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while now, and to let you know and to remind my listeners, since we've been out for a week, my goal on this show is to have on guests that are involved in public service in the Upper Cumberland.
Yep, we do that.
And we both do that, and I've been all across Upper Cumberland. I haven't touched every county or city yet, but a lot of those times those guests are someone I actually work with or know very well and develop a friendship with. And I had not had the opportunity to develop a friendship with you or work in a relationship really either. Unfortunately, I think we met maybe one time through a mutual friend.
I'm sure.
Jennifer Wilkerson at Habitat for Humanity.
Yes, yes, yes.
Uh-huh. And I think that's the first time I met you, last time I've seen you. And so I'm really excited.
Yeah, well, I am too. Yeah, this is our inaugural.
I want to get to know you for not only for our listener purposes, for people to get to know you, but we can work together going forward to help Putnam County and City of Coolville. Of course, Jennifer's great, and she actually said, hey, you need to have her on.
Oh, thank you.
I said, absolutely, I do. But I think it's always good when members of the commission, county commission, and city council can work together. Maybe this is a start of something.
I think so.
We always want to discuss how to improve the lives of our citizens, and that's why we're here. So having said all that, I'm glad you're here, and I want to learn more about you. I want our listeners to get to know actually who you are. I know that you know, you've been on radio and maybe some brief time, but, you know, I don't know if everybody knows actually who.
No, yeah, because I'm not from Coolville. I'm not from here. And, you know, we moved here in 2013. So technically, I'm still kind of a newbie. So I enjoy the opportunity to get people to get to know me because I'm going to be around here for a while. I'm not leaving Coolville anytime soon. Y'all are stuck with me. So, yeah, so I'm happy to get to talk to you.
Well, you and I are both were featured in the Herald Citizen's Progress
section. Yes, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Congratulations to you. I think I was the last one in, but I'm thankful. I'm humbled, actually. When they told me, I thought they were, you know, joking with me.
Same here. I was like, are you sure you don't have, like, anybody?
Exactly. Somebody else out there besides me. And there was a really good article on you, and I read it.
Thank you.
Read it at the time it came out. I read everyone's, because there's a few people in there I didn't know. But I want to go deeper than that, if that's okay with you. And so, 2013, you moved here.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay.
Grew up there, went to high school, did my undergrad at Ole Miss, got my nursing degree there and worked in Jackson, and then moved to Nashville.
Okay.
And worked at Vanderbilt, got my master's in nursing there at Vanderbilt, and then met my husband, Wade Wheaton, who is a Coolville native,
right.
You know, loves Coolville, born, raised,
sure.
Left for a little while to go to UT and came back and finished at Tech. So we met and got married, and he actually moved me to Grimsley, Tennessee first.
Yep.
Yes, the Jamestown area. Mm-hmm. He was working up there, and that was a little bit different going from Nashville to Grimsley.
Slightly different.
Just a little.
Slightly different.
It was beautiful up there, and it was actually we got to know a lot about each other in our first year of marriage because we were the kind of the only ones up there, and then the opportunity came to move to Coolville, and we jumped on it, and I have loved it. Ever since then, like I said, I'm not leaving. I'm y'all are stuck with me.
I have to ask. You got your master's at Vanderbilt, you said?
Yes.
He went to UT.
Uh-huh.
How does that work out?
So my heart belongs to Ole Miss.
Absolutely.
Yes,
undergrad.
I believe red and blue. Yes. So yes, thank you.
Yep.
So yeah, at the beginning of football season, we have to sit down and we have to look at the schedule and say, okay, which games are we going to try to go to for UT and Ole Miss? And I've taken my kids to an Ole Miss game. They've seen it. But Wade says that's not college football. They need to go to Neyland. So next year, it's in the plans. We will be at Neyland Stadium with the kids. But we are house divided.
I will not disagree with your husband. I've not been to I want to go to Oxford.
Yes.
I want to watch
everyone,
football
if you're
game
a college
there.
Football fan, yes,
I
got to go.
You know, spend a day on campus. They say it's beautiful. I have friends that went there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
go to the Grove.
But Neyland Stadium's hard to beat.
It is. And I had never been until Wade and I started dating. And I took him to an Ole Miss game. And, you know, they boasted, oh, we've got 60,000 fans here today. And then we went to Neyland, and it was the Tennessee-Alabama game.
Oh,
and they're like, we have 109,000 fans. I was like, oh, this is, okay, a little bit different. So
we do it big in Knoxville.
Yes,
so.
Yes, y'all do.
So Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and you're from Mississippi. You come to Coolville. 2013. What was your first impressions of Cookeville?
I love the atmosphere. You know, I love that it's a university town. It's got Tennessee Tech, which I think, you know, is one of the lifelines of this city. I loved that people were friendly, very welcoming, having, you know, Wade by my side, people knew him. And so I got to know a lot more people. I loved just what Cookeville was doing. You know, that was kind of when some of this growth was happening, and I saw that. And I love that I knew I could raise my kids here.
Sure.
I saw, you know, they got great school systems here, great network of things for kids to do, get involved with that kind of stuff. And I just really realized, I was like, okay, this is where we're going to put our roots down here. Wade works, you know, for Farm Bureau here in town. Great job. He loves that. I was traveling at the time. I was a nurse practitioner seeing patients in the home. So my territory was Nashville to Crossville. It was huge.
Right.
But I just liked, how I felt like I fit in here, even though I wasn't from here.
Sure.
I felt like I fit in here.
My wife says the same thing. You and her are similar because she's from Lawrence County, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Which is down on the Alabama border. And when we met, you know, I was still working in Nashville, but shortly after circumstances changed where I come back home, I'm from Baxter, and,
mm-hmm.
and my job moved me back here. And so we got married, and I said, well, you know, I'm here, but I don't care to move to Lawrence County. My job, I can keep my job because of a situation going on, but it's up to you. She's like, no, I'll move mm-hmm. to Cookeville. First year, she was like, this is brand new to me, making friends, you know, it's kind of a struggle. But, you know, my family and friends took her in, and
yeah.
she loves it.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't move. I couldn't tie her up to a bulldozer and pull her off Turkey Hollow Road and back. She's just not going anywhere.
No, neither am I. No.
And so we love it here. Great community. And one of the reasons it's great is because of public service and public
yes.
servants that we have.
Yes.
And we'll talk about how much Cookeville and Putnam County has prospered the last few years. But I'm interested to know, you're a nurse.
Nurse practitioner, yes.
And nurse practitioner. And so to me, that's public service as well. Now, it's not
yes.
political.
No, but it is.
But you're that's just as much of a public service as what you and I do in our roles as commission and council. What made you decide to go to the medical profession?
I honestly couldn't find myself doing anything else. I took anatomy and physiology in high school and loved the way the human body worked. I think the way that God created everything to, you know, when this does this, I thought it was so fascinating. And so I just dove right into that and really loved that. Then I'm a people person and I like to help out. It's just, you know, it's in our nature. It's
right.
just kind of what we do. And so my aunt was a nurse, so I got to hear stories, you know, about what she did. And then I'm an adrenaline junkie. And so I knew that when I did nursing, I wanted to work in the ER. And I got my first taste of that as a student nurse, fell in love. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. I never had a plan to do anything else.
Nice.
Yeah. And so got into that, worked in the ER, absolutely loved it. Worked at Vanderbilt in the ER, loved it as well. And then I kind of saw an opportunity to pursue getting my master's degree. I knew it was something I always wanted to do, to become a nurse practitioner. And the opportunity arose, did it, and absolutely loved it. Got to work in orthopedics. And then I did for 5 years. I saw patients in the home that were medically underserved. Most of them were lower income. And so I got to go into these patients' home and develop this relationship that I've got patients that I haven't seen them in 6 years.
Sure.
And I've got patients that I still talk to.
That's great.
And send Christmas cards to and stuff like that. So it's just, I like connecting. I like developing that relationship.
Relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of the way we work, I guess. That's what makes us go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Those relationships. You still have family in Mississippi?
I do. They live in Oxford now.
Okay.
So going to Ole Miss is a little bit easier. And my brother, he lives in Batesville, and he's actually the city attorney for Batesville.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's actually nice because I can talk to him and hey, how do you do things down there? Yeah, get some you know, legal advice from him.
I'm glad you brought that up. We have been to Colorado twice in the last 2 months. We hadn't been until then and went to visit for a concert at Red Rocks Theater.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, and then the last 3 weeks ago, went to watch the Predators play, the Avalanche, and that was miserable. Anyway, beat 9-4. But we went twice in 2 months. Loved it. So I walked into the Visitor Center in Golden,
mm-hmm.
which is where Coors Brewery is and a lot of things going on. And their structure of – I'm a nerd, all right? So I said, how does your county government work here?
Yeah.
And they're looking at me like, who is this guy? Of course, they hear my Southern drawl, and they know I'm not from Colorado. And this lady over the visitor center, kind of like the chamber, but they were split. She come out, and we talked for 30 minutes.
Really?
And they're set up, their county government, and I like talking about this, and I haven't yet, but their county government is set up. They have 3 full-time commissioners.
Okay.
And they run the government.
Wow.
There's the only, I think they have a county mayor, but it's like a figurehead, kind of like a part-time. Yeah. These 3 commissioners have a full-time job. They show up to the courthouse every day, which was immaculate. This thing was huge. And they decide what goes on in the county.
Really?
So instead of having 24 people and getting a majority of 13 in the county commission.
Yeah, they just got 3 guys.
3 people, and two of them, all it takes is 2 votes.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm glad you brought that up. So you and your brother get to talk about
city
government.
Learn about different cities and how they do it. Because I always think it's important to, you know, get someone else's viewpoint. Sure. Say, hey, how do y'all do it? How does this work for you? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. You're listening to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. My guest today is Lauren Wheaton. She is the vice mayor of the city of Coolville. She just finished her first year as that. And we'll talk about what's going on with the city, her first year in office, the budget, things to come in Coolville. And we'll get to know her a little bit more and talk about her family next. When we come back. Welcome back to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. This is Ben Rogers. My guest today is Vice Mayor for the City of Coolville, Lauren Wheaton. We've been talking about your past, you growing up, Mississippi, what you do now, and you're a nurse practitioner, which I think is wonderful.
Hats off
to you. There's no way I could do it. I think I may have said this before. I majored in pre-dentistry at Tech before I changed.
Did you?
Went and washed the root canal. I passed out.
Okay, then yeah.
When I got up off the floor from almost passing out, I went straight to the chemistry department at Tennessee Tech, met with my advisor, and changed my major.
I think that was a good idea,
I went to business. So a little bit of root canal is like, no.
Now, see, I couldn't do business. Oh, no, yeah, I do not want to do that. Don't want to touch it.
So. Got into the accounting world, and it was tough in school, but it helped me out. So I love what I do. But let's talk about your family here, your husband. How many kids do you have?
I've got 2 kids. My daughter, Kennedy, just turned 6 last week, and my son, Palmer, is 4. Kennedy goes to Capshaw. She started kindergarten this year, so that was really fun and heartbreaking at the same time.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not from here, so I wasn't familiar with the school systems. And already, I mean, you know, Capshaw, all the schools here are unbelievable. But just getting to see her enter into that realm. And, you know, myself, I went to a private school in Mississippi and knew, love public schools.
Sure.
We just didn't have really a very good option, unfortunately, in Mississippi, which is another reason I loved Coolville, is because the school systems here are absolutely amazing. And so getting to see that, I actually help out at Capshaw some, so I get to kind of know who's working up there. And I really enjoy that, get to know the kids and things like that. And then my son, Palmer, he is at daycare. And Jacob's Ladder, absolutely love it. Both of my kids have gone there. So we are right in the middle of everything right now.
I have to ask, Amy and our dog people, we now have 3. We just added 1.
Yes,
you have
congratulations.
Any pets?
Yes, we do. Yes. So when we lived in Grimsley, the word got out that I loved animals. And so by the time we left, we had 6 dogs roaming around because people would drop their dogs off because they knew I'd feed them and I'd take them in. We had Willie Nelson. We had Julio and Consuelo. We had Rook. I mean, we had all these dogs. We actually found out one of the dogs was someone else's dog.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, came in our house and slept, and then would go to their other house. And so, yes.
That's interesting.
That actually happened. But now we have 1 dog, Colonel. My husband did let me name him Colonel after our, you know,
sure,
old mascot. We got him from the pound. He is a, you know, 60-70 pound Doberman Lab mix, and all he wants to do is lay on the couch with
you. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we love animals. My kids, they try to ride him and, you know, play with him, and he just gets right in there with them.
Good.
Yes.
I think pets are wonderful.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I tell people that my dogs probably treat me better than anybody else. They're never mad at me, and they love me every time they see me. So
Wade says I treat the dog better than him sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes that happens, probably. So I want to know about your public service. And as I said, I think being a nurse practitioner and doing what you do is the epitome of public service. On the side you and I are familiar with you're on the council, I'm on the commission. I have to know, you just finished your first year.
Yeah.
What made you decide to run for city council?
It was such a, I mean, I say it definitely was a God thing. And then it was such a just, it was really random. So the funny backstory is, New Year's Day, we were at a friend's house and we played a little game that was write down what you wish, you know, what your New Year's resolution is going to be and what you wish your spouse's New Year's resolution was. And so, of course, mine was, you know, for Wade to pick up the dental floss. That was my resolution for him. His resolution was for me to make less friends. Kid you not, that was his resolution.
At a friend's party?
At a friend's party,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So my resolution, he wants me to make less friends. 20 days later, I look at him and I'm like, hey, I think I want to run for city council. And he looked at me and I thought he was going to laugh. And he said, I think you should do it.
Yeah.
He said, definitely. Let's do it. And I went, okay, you just told me to make less friends. He was like, this is an opportunity. You know, I think you should jump on
Sometimes getting in the public service makes less friends. Actually, sometimes you make a lot of people mad sometimes.
Very true. But I saw this opportunity, one, because, again, I knew I was going to be in Cookeville. I was staying here, and I saw this as a way to get involved. I felt like I had an obligation. If this was going to be my city, I needed to step up and to step into those leadership roles to make sure that Cookeville was heading in the direction that it already was and to continue that path of success. Another big thing is I'm a firm believer if, you know, I don't, who will? And if we don't step up into those positions and make those tough decisions, you can't complain. You can't turn around and say, well, why isn't it this way? Well, what did you do to help? And then I also saw that I could offer a perspective that wasn't currently on the council, you know, nurse practitioner,
sure.
Mom, female, outsider, kind sure. of. I thought those were all important things that needed to be brought to the council. And then I just started talking to people and saying, hey, what do you think about this? Is this something I should do? And doors just kept opening up. And I prayed and said, you know, God, if I'm not supposed to do this, just close the door. Just close the door. And he just flung them open. Yeah. And so next thing you know, we had a campaign team. It was a bunch of moms. I make the joke, don't get a bunch of moms together because we're going to get something done.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
You give us a goal, like, it's going to happen. Right. So, you know, we'd have all the Suburbans and vans pulled up at our house for you know, campaign meetings and stuff like that. But it was really, I mean, it was just a grassroots, you know, thing. We just said, hey, this is something I think I can do. And people said, yeah, let's do it. And so that is how it happened. I decided in January, picked up the papers. What, January 25th or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
You're listening to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM, and I'm glad to have Vice Mayor Lauren Wheaton with me. So I actually was told by a mutual friend, and you can confirm or deny this, you actually went to each department head in the city before you ran because you wanted to know what they did.
Yes.
Like, that's – and I'm not being, try not being mean, but I've been in public service for 14 years with CTAS and helping counties throughout the Cup of Cumberland. And you just don't see commissioners, council, or officials have that much concern about what actually people do. And so you took it upon yourself to go visit with city department heads.
I did.
Good for you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And you know, again, I was new to Cookeville. I was new to the political world. But it's very much, I guess, my medical background. I'm not going to walk into the emergency room and not know how to treat a trauma patient.
Sure.
I'm going to make sure I study and I know my information. If I'm going to be on city council, I need to know how this works. I need to know what goes on. I need to know how everything, interfaces and things like that. And I wanted to meet the people who ran the city and say, hey, what are your concerns? Are there things that you want to see changed? If I'm going to step into this position, I need to know how to either make it better or continue what's going on. So I did. I went and met with every one of them. I'm sure they were like, who is this crazy girl coming up? I can't remember who it was, but one guy was like, well, you know, what do you want to know? I was like, I don't know. I just want to chat and see how everything works. So I think that was a huge benefit for me. Because I
Absolutely.
Really got, and I got to see how amazing the city already works.
Sure.
You know, I kind of joke about the city council. The city could almost run itself without us. You know,
right.
The city department heads all want what's best for Cookeville. They don't want what's best for their department.
Right.
They want what's best for Cookeville. So I really got to see how great our city government worked. And I said, well, yeah, I want to be a part of that. So, yes, I did.
So the campaigning process, a team of moms.
Yeah, team of moms. Mm-hmm.
What was the actual campaigning like for you when you went out there and talked to people? Was it something that you just loved? You said you're an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah.
Is it something you loved? Or did it get exhausting? How was that for you?
No, I loved it. I don't sit still very well. I'm constantly doing stuff. My husband says I can't say no, and that's probably true most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed getting to meet people, for one, learn about, you know, what they thought about the city, what their relationship was with the city. And again, that nursing background, I tend to gravitate towards helping people.
Right.
So if there was something that I could help with, I said, hey, let me take a look at that. If that's something I can help with when I get on the council, I will. No, I loved campaigning. I loved meeting people, getting out to events. you know, having people come talk to me and say, well, this is what I'm looking for. So no, campaigning, it was exhausting. I will say my husband, I could not have done it without him.
Right.
I always give him as much credit as I can. Good. Because there were days that I was like, hey, I'm going to be gone from, you know, 3 to 7, and sure, I need you to take the kids. And sure, he did. So he played a little less golf during campaign season, but I think he's made up for it.
Yeah, it's my golf game has suffered as well.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, and I can't imagine going countywide. I mean, that's a whole bigger ball game.
You forget. Sometimes you forget to be at certain community centers or functions. You can't make it to all of them. You feel bad. And the senior citizens obviously want to come, and I try to get there as much as I can in Baxter and everywhere else, and just can't always make it because of work, you know. And I don't know how much you know, and I've said I work with 13 counties. I'm a county government consultant for 13 counties, and it's more than a full-time job.
And this is a big area to cover.
It is. And it's, you know, I got a call. Of course, Friday was a holiday for most people, but I got a call Friday from a county executive that needed help on, you know, and I answered the call, and I got a call Sunday afternoon from a county mayor that needed help. So
yeah,
it's real busy public services, but it's rewarding.
Oh, it is. It's so rewarding. Yeah.
So your first year, and you're now a year plus in as vice mayor, and we'll talk about how you became vice mayor because we want to bring that up later. But
yeah,
what was your first year like?
I loved it. I fell more in love with the city, obviously, getting to learn more about it and how it works. And I really enjoyed finding the avenues that I was going to serve in because, as you know, once you get on the city government level or any, you know, council level, anything like that, you don't just go to council meetings.
Sure.
And you just don't go to county commission meetings. You know, you serve on boards. You get involved with other organizations and things like that. And so I've really found my avenues of where I'm serving with, you know, Healthier Cookeville Commission and helping out with some stuff with the hospital. So I've really enjoyed finding my little niche and getting in there and digging in.
When we come back, I want to talk about the budget process, your first budget.
Oh, that was fun.
How that was. and I don't know how much you knew about our budget at the county this year. That was for our new commissioners. That was a...
Y'all had a lot tougher job. Y'all did a good job.
Not for them, but it's I always want to get feedback on how that was for you when we return. And you're listening to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM. It's 1600 AM. We will be back shortly. Welcome back to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM. This has Ben Rogers. I am visiting with Vice Mayor of the City of Cookeville, Lauren Wheaton. We've had a good time so far. I've learned a lot about you through 2 segments. We've got 2 more to go, and I don't want to ignore your experience with the budget process and how that went, because it seems like this past year, counties and cities across Upper Cumberland and the state were raising taxes and needing funding. And I actually get several questions from citizens, not only here, but across the region, and they'll say, why are counties and cities raising taxes? And because the economy's good, right?
They'll
say,
isn't the economy good? Is.
Yeah, it's going it's great. It's been going great for several years now. And they want to know, so if the economy's great, then why are cities and counties raising taxes? Well, the answer varies. And I want your take on that. But what I tell them is operating costs are going up.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going down.
Mm-hmm.
Some counties and cities have certain needs.
Mm-hmm.
Those needs change from year to year. I did a 2-night commissioner training in Warren County at the beginning of this week, and they raised taxes 28 cents.
Mm.
Most of that 28 cents was going towards correctional officers.
Okay.
They recently added on to the jail. They needed more COs. The commission funded it, had to raise taxes to do it. It's a continual expense. It happens every year, so you got to have that funding there. Smith County, as most people know, raised their taxes 59 cents. That's simply... basically because they funded more services than they had money.
They had to play catch-up, didn't
they?
Yes.
Yeah. They had to play catch-up. So those are 2 different examples. City of Cookeville, infrastructure.
Yep.
So what was that like when y'all sat down as a council and you looked at the needs of the city and you looked at the cost? What was that like? It was your first year, and you're vice mayor, and your first year on the council. What was that like for
and
you?
And seeing these numbers, yeah.
Sure.
You know, when we started talking about it, what kind of happened was a list was brought to us of 48 road improvements. And these were things that had been, you know, TDOT had taken a look at and said, hey, these are some areas you need improvement on. And there was 48 of them.
Right.
And some of them, you know, we know already. We all have to handle them, you know, West Jackson and Willow, you know, Walnut, South, you know, all that stuff. We already know are headaches. So we started looking at that. And then we started looking at the cost. And let me tell you, you know, road repairs, infrastructure, and we even narrowed it down more to roads, sidewalks, kind of bike path, because we really wanted to focus in on what's the number one thing people complain about in Cookeville? Traffic. What's going to help that?
Right.
Road improvements. How are we going to do that? We got to have more money.
Right.
They're just, the money was not there to do these improvements. We know we're growing. We want to be proactive, and we don't want to be playing catch up when our city's, you know, gotten to this point and now every roadway is clogged. We want to make sure that we're being proactive, looking at where the growth is happening and be prepared for it. So when we took all that into account, we looked at where we were. Taxes hadn't been raised in, I think it was 7 years, something like that. Now, this was the biggest raise. And this wasn't one that was going to, you know, after a certain amount of time go back. We were going to, you know, keep this tax increase in place. And we talked about it. We all, you know, we all live in Cookeville. We know this is going to impact us. But then we also saw what we did calculations, saw what the impact was going to be. And at the end of the day, it needed to happen. That's why we're on the council. We're there to make those tough decisions. We know we're going to make decisions that people aren't going to be happy with.
Yep.
But we know we're doing it for the city. That's what we're there for. So we did. We decided to make that tax increase. And we, you know, even broke it down even more. 5 cents of the tax increase was going to go specifically into a fund that is a pay-as-you-go fund. So when we see a project that needs to be done, we don't have to issue a bond.
Sure.
We can go straight to that account, get that money, start working on the projects. The other one is stuff, you know, we're going to save up for these big projects. But, I mean, when they started showing us the numbers, I mean, you're in the millions is what you're talking about for just widening, you know, this little portion of a road.
Right.
So it's just, it was not possible with the funds we had it, and we knew this was a high demand, and so we made that decision.
Would you, is it safe to say that most of the phone calls you get are concerning traffic and streets?
Yes, yes. A lot of those are, yeah. You know, well, why is this backed up? You know, why is this not getting fixed? And another thing I've learned being in city government, things take time.
They do.
And especially when you're talking about state roads and that kind of stuff, it just takes time.
No one gets in a hurry.
No one gets in a hurry. And these projects, you know, thank goodness they're not doing them hurriedly because chances are that would mess things up.
Right.
But it takes time. So then you do this tax increase. You say you're going to do these projects, and then people start going, what's going on? You've got to do right-of-way phase. You've got to do, you know, the engineering phase. You've got to do, there's so much stuff. If this is a state road, you got to wait for TDOT to come in. So that's a lot of learning that I have experienced with this. But I think if people know why you're doing something, they're a lot more comfortable with it. So that's why I like saying, hey, this is why we're doing it, guys. We're trying to fix something that y'all won't fix,
sure.
But it costs money to do it.
Communication and transparency
are
the two key important factors when talking to constituents.
Mm-hmm.
If you communicate and you're transparent, usually they're going to be satisfied. Now, mm-hmm. they may not completely like that you're spending tax dollars for this, but when you talk to them, that's when you're successful. When you don't talk to them, and when you hide that information, and you do things that you don't necessarily advertise or speak about, that's when they're frustrated. And I'm glad you mentioned the pay-as-you-go fund. I refer to that as a capital projects fund. We have one in Putnam County. I've helped several of my counties in Upper Cumberland set one up, and it's to me, it makes sense. And Smith County just set one up. I helped them. I encouraged them. Hey, y'all are having trouble. This 59 cents, at least put some of that towards capital projects because you're issuing notes and bonds for or you're doing loans for $30,000 vehicle or three vehicles or a fire truck. I mean, you can hopefully pay cash for that.
Mm-hmm.
That saves those closing costs and that interest cost. So the pay as you go and the capital projects so important in county and city government.
Mm-hmm.
So the budget process was different for you. You got through it. Washington's now looking good.
Yep, looking good. Yes,
we drove down the other day.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. Let's change a little bit towards get away from the budget and talk about the committees and boards that you serve on now as on the council and vice mayor. What are some of those committees and boards that you serve on?
Well, the first one that I've really enjoyed and gotten involved with is a Healthier Cookeville Committee, which kind of ties in with Putnam County Health Department and Health Commission. Clearly, being in healthcare, it's something I'm very interested in. And now having a school-aged child, you know, school exercise and health, that has become a real big importance to me. One of the programs that I love and I want to see in every school is called Morning Movement.
Sure.
It's this program where the kids who get dropped off early normally just have to sit in the cafeteria and wait. Well, they've got PE teachers that come in and get these kids up and moving for 45 minutes. Yes, I mean, it gets their wiggles out. You know, exercise is shown to clearly help with, you know, any childhood obesity. It helps with focusing, that kind of stuff. So I love that program. You know, that's something that I really want to support. I've gotten to help out with being on the hospital ethics board, getting involved with the hospital because that unique relationship that it's a city-owned hospital, I think that's important. I like that. And then I'm also, what else am I doing? I had to think about it for a second. I think that's all right now that I'm involved with. I serve on the Child Advocacy Center board. That's separately from the, the city council, but that's also a big passion of mine. So I managed to keep myself pretty busy.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I imagine you do. I want your opinion on something. And I know you've only been in a year plus with the city, but you've lived here since 13 and you love Cookeville and Putnam County. And we've done really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it's no secret. We're striving. Our neighbors and counties always are saying something about we get all the good stuff, and and actually it helps them too. And I remind
yes, it does.
My
yes, around the counties, yes.
Absolutely, this helps you. But what do you think? Why do we work so well together, city and county? What's your opinion on that?
I really think that no one is selfish in their role. I think that is very important. I think everyone. They really want what's best for the city, and they realize that sometimes this is going to have to take a back seat for this. Like with the budget process, we learned, hey, there's, you know, this area needs this funding, so we're going to have to cut something over here. Sure. And that department's not vindictive or mad about it. They understand what's going on. I think the relationship with the city and county, I mean, I'm sure you have seen in multiple instances where they do not get along, or even the people on the commission or the council don't get along. Right. I think, you know, our city council, the cohesiveness that we have, the way we work together, is why our city is so successful. I think the way our government, our former government, our city council, city manager run government, I think that has worked clearly for a very long time.
Sure.
And, has also ensured the success that the city has had. But at the end of the day, I think it really is the people who are doing our jobs. We really care about the city. We really want to see what's best for it because we live here, and we know that if we don't take care of it, you know, it could turn out that we're all having to move. And I kind of saw that happen with Jackson, Mississippi. Unfortunately, the city didn't take care of itself, and crime went up, and people moved out. And I don't want that for Cookeville.
Right. I don't either. And I want to praise not only the council and the commission, but, you know, Mayor Randy Porter and Mayor Ricky Shelton, City Manager James Mills. They all communicate really well, and I've been in those meetings with them where they talk, and going back to Mike Davidson when he was city manager.
Yep.
And my hope is actually what I would love to see, and I'm the biggest part of this as anybody, is being chair of the commission, is the county commission, city council communicate better.
I would too. Yeah, I'd like to do some more work. Yeah.
I would like to see maybe a joint meeting every now and then.
I would love that. No, just communication. Yeah, just say, hey, what are y'all doing? Yeah. What are we doing? How can we help each other out? I vote for that.
I think we should get together and try to set that up.
I think we could make that happen.
Yeah, I think we could. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see that, but we're in a good spot. I don't want to get settled where we're just content where we're at.
Correct, yes.
You know, my opinion is you're only strong if you're together.
Yeah.
And then you're just as strong as you can be when you're together. If not, something's going to happen. But when we come back next segment, I want to talk a little bit about the structure of the city of Cookeville. I've had Mayor Shelton on before, and we talked about some, but I want to talk about it with you as well and talk about your role as vice mayor. When we come back on Trending, this is Trending on News Talk, 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. I'm Ben Rogers, and my guest so far has been Miss Lauren Wheaton. She is the vice mayor of the city of Cookeville. We'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. This has been Rogers, and I continue to visit with Vice Mayor Lauren Wheaton for the city of Cookeville. I wanted to discuss, Lauren, with you before we left today, the structure of the city of Cookeville. And as most people know...
and a lot of people actually don't know.
You're right. You're right. A lot of people don't know. There's five council members, and they're all elected.
Mm-hmm. At large.
At large. All elected at large. They don't serve one district, so they're all at large. So the top five vote getters elected by the people are the council.
Correct.
Some people think that the highest vote getter by the elected people is automatically the mayor. That's not the case.
No, but yeah.
The council appoints the mayor and vice mayor, but historically...
It has always been the person who gets the most votes.
And the second most votes goes to the vice mayor. So you got the second most votes, so that's congratulations.
Yeah, I was
that's
shocked by
deal.
That, so yeah.
But that's how it works. So just because the people vote for somebody the most doesn't mean necessarily the council will put them as mayor, but they have historically. There has been some discussion on changing that process, and you see it in the paper, and I think y'all discussed it at council meetings.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about that discussion?
One thing is a lot of people don't understand how our mayor is elected and why we just, you know, when I ran, in fact, my family was like, how does this work? Are you running for mayor? Or are you running for council? And I had to explain it to them. So it is a different way of electing our city officials. And yes, typically the person who gets the most votes is voted mayor. So I kind of see that already as the people getting to choose who the mayor is, because while the city council does you know, officially say who's going to be mayor, it kind of already works itself out that way. I think historically, if you look at the way our city has been running, there have not been any problems. I don't know of any. I've talked to, you know, plenty of former mayors, former councilmen, and not one of them has mentioned this needs to be changed. Now, if something needs to be changed, I'm all for change. I have no problem with change. I think if you don't change, you become stagnant and you become obsolete. At this time, I don't see a need for a change. I think that it is very important that we, certain things like term limits has been brought up, that making the mayor a separate position, and possibly previous term limits that have applied to city council, where, you know, we can serve 2 consecutive years, 8 years total, and then you have to, 2 consecutive terms, excuse me, and then you have to sit out and you can run again.
Right.
That's currently our term limits. I think term limits are important. I know the commission does not actually have them, which I did not know.
State law does not allow us to have them.
Yeah, I know. That was something new I learned.
Yep.
And I think that term limits allow for new people to come in, new ideas. So I'm for that. I think getting new blood in there is important. But at this time, I just don't see a need to change it. If, you know, it has been brought up, well, the people want to, you know, elect the mayor. They kind of already do now,
right,
you know, because it is the person who gets the most votes. So if that is something that we see there is a need for it, I'm all for it. Let's have that discussion. Let's see what other cities do. Let's talk to them. But right now, I just don't see. I think things are working great. And if it's not broke, don't fix it.
I'm curious to how that could work. And I'm thinking
out loud.
That's
another thing, too, is that, you know, one of the concerns we have is, okay, so if you do separate it and you do have a mayor election and a council election, well, what if you've got 5 people who run for mayor?
You're reading my mind.
Exactly.
I was about to ask you,
yeah,
what if all 5 of you want to run for mayor next time?
Yeah.
And you cannot, so one of you, only one are you going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all, you've been council members and done a great job. Well, that eliminates the other 4 from being on the council now. And
exactly.
So,
we don't want to create a smaller pool. You know, that's why I like the kind of at large right now, is that it's the top 5 vote getters. It's the top 5 people that you know, the people have voted that won in there. So that is a concern. If you've got everyone running for mayor, well, then who's going to run for city council?
Right.
And then there was kind of a resolution that Councilman Miller had brought up about running for council and then, you know, kind of checking a separate box if you want to be nominated to, or not nominated, but if you also want to run for mayor, and then that way you can be elected mayor if you want to be, and then the other vote getters get on council, which, you know, that is something that we could discuss. But again, I don't really see a need. We did kind of have to come up with that resolution because there had been some talk of changing it, and we wanted to make sure that we were being proactive and making sure that things that we don't want to happen are, you know, that is known.
Sure.
This is something we don't think needs to happen, and to also be proactive and say, okay, well, then let's discuss this if this is something that needs to happen. So
let's say that you keep the format as it is now. It's at large. But you want to get rid of term limits, all you have to do is change your charter, correct?
Correct, okay. Yeah. And, well, actually, no. If we do want to change the term limits, that's just a procedural change is what I was told. So that doesn't have to
go through the charter? Okay.
Exactly, yeah, that doesn't. Now, if we wanted to change to a mayor-run city government and, you know, do away with city manager, which I do not think we need to do at all, that would have to be a charter change, and that would have to take some more steps. You know, we just want to make sure that, or what I understood was that, this change of changing the mayor to a separate position could essentially be bypassed by the city council. It could go around us and not go through us. And if that's something that I didn't agree on, I wanted to make sure that didn't happen.
Sure.
So that's kind of why, you know, we started being proactive and vocal about it, because, you know, Mark and Eric and Chuck have all kind of, I think we've all kind of let it be known that we don't think it needs to change. And
right.
So that's why we started to kind of voice our opinions, because it could still go around us and not go through the council as a vote.
That kind of blows me away.
It does. It blew me away too. We can take a stance on it. You know, we can kind of say, hey, this is something that we don't want to happen. But if we didn't, and it did go to the state and our representatives agreed with it and didn't know that there was any opposition, they could have changed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And as I think most people know, listen, I shouldn't say I'm an expert in anything, but I work with county government.
Yeah.
I don't always work with city government. So I don't know everything that happens with cities. I don't know everybody's charter. So I've learned something today.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what, when we learn that, like I said, we want to do what's best for the city.
Sure.
That's what our end goal is. And if there's something we don't think is best for the city, that is my job to step up and say, hey, guys, let's have a discussion about this and see what really is, you know, wanting to happen here. But at the end of the day, if I don't agree with it, I'm going to say I don't.
Now, if... the county commission decided they wanted term limits, we'd have to go through a charter form of government, uh-huh. which is a big process. But under the law we're now, the general law we're under now, we cannot term limit. I don't necessarily believe in running for 28 years personally, but
Also like expertise, I like that there's people in there who know what they're doing. I can learn from that, that kind of stuff.
There's good to it as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Being transparent and your feelings, because I did not know how you felt. So thank you for that. Let's get to some good and one little bad thing that we just learned a few days ago. Putnam County and Coolville's doing great,
mm-hmm.
but we did have a fire, the Wilson Building.
Yes, caught a fire
early Tuesday morning, I think, and it's a total loss. Is that correct?
Yeah, from what I'm understanding, no, I don't think any injuries have been reported.
That's good.
And, we had Crossville, Monterey, Cookeville, I can't remember who, all the surrounding counties had to come in and help, because it was such a huge fire. And one of our trucks, we actually had to, on the agenda on Thursday, is going to be to vote our tower on our fire truck is actually broken and needs an emergency repair. So we, even more reason we will be, have to vote for that. But we had to have all the surrounding counties come in and help with that.
Mutual aid. That mutual aid's so good. And you have coordinators that do that, and they call these cities and counties, like, can you go here and help?
Mm-hmm.
And we have good neighbors.
Yep.
We would do the same for them.
Yes, we would.
Hats off to our city fire department, county fire department, mm-hmm. those counties. Is there anything good you can share with us coming up that you know of? I kind of put you on the spot.
That's completely fine.
Any
new
businesses, any new restaurants, anything like that? You know anything?
Well, I know one of the things that I've been involved in is with some Dogwood Park updates, again, because I've got kids. Yeah, and we've got a citizen-led committee that is we're actually having a meeting sometime this month to discuss some things that we want to do with Dogwood Park. We are redoing the plan that we want to have for things to do. So that's some exciting stuff. We're still going to get bathrooms over there by the playground. I know that's something that the moms ask me about all the time. So that's exciting. Business-wise, we actually do have some industry opportunities that are coming that are going to be, hopefully if that does happen, going to be a great boost to the economy, jobs, that kind of stuff. Still in the, in this phase of working things out, so you're not allowed to really talk about what it is,
absolutely.
But there are some really big opportunities ahead that are going to help with, like I said, jobs and industry. We've got the stuff going on with the whole Shops at Eagle Point and all that. So I think there's still shops and, opportunities still coming in there. I'm really excited about that, to see that grow. And then road improvements, that's the other big thing. We're in certain phases of the Willow and West Jackson and South Jefferson widening, that kind of stuff. And then we're going to be doing some improvements to Cedar Avenue, make that a really an area that right now, people walk around that area, and it's a really vibrant part of town.
It is.
And we want to make sure that it is continuing to be that and attracting that type of, activity.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're wrapping up. We got about a minute and a half. I do this every now and then because I like to do it. And it's fun. And I actually did not tell you what I was going to ask.
Didn't.
So
yeah.
I thought I would, and I didn't.
And you did not.
So this is on spot. I think it's pretty fun. Five random questions if I get to five.
Okay.
If you could listen to any artist on the radio right now, who would it be?
Ooh, Elton John.
Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like him. He's a good one.
Nice. What is your favorite thing to do outside of work and outside of serving as vice mayor?
When I get time, I love to cook. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time to that. So I like to go out to eat at our local restaurants.
Good. And I know what your favorite sports team. Well, college-wise, you have any professional teams you cheer for?
No, I'm a college football girl at heart. I love Ole Miss. Yeah, I bleed red and blue.
All right. We had some snow recently, beginning of the week. Actually had a snow day in Putnam County. Snow or no snow?
Snow only if I'm skiing. I can't go skiing in Cookeville, so I don't want any snow. But you get me out in Colorado, I want some snow.
Last question, and we'll wrap up. Hallmark movies or traditional Christmas movies?
Traditional all the way.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell myself. I'll sit down with Amy and we'll watch a Hallmark movie. And they're neat. And we discussed this the other day. The storyline kind of repeats itself.
It does. No,
But traditional Christmas movies. We watch Christmas Vacation the other night. Elf and stuff like that.
We've already watched them both.
Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
We'll
really
continue
enjoyed
to
this.
Talk.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job. Thank you for your service to the city of Cookeville.
Thank you for yours.
And to me, it branches out further than the city of Cookeville. It goes into Putnam County and Upper Cumberland. So thank you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being here. You have been listening to Trending today on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. We will be back next week. I'll see you then.